Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to episode 81 of Inside the Game. I'm DJ Wheat, joined as always by Gentleman Thorzane, Gentleman Suppy, and Gentleman in Control. It's been another week past and more news on the plate to talk about StarCraft II and all the great things going on in the esports world. Hello and welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Howdy ho.
Thorzane, basically that yawn defines a little bit of how I feel. Admittedly, I'll open up today's hellos this week. Admittedly, Blizzard makes StarCraft II. Somehow they managed to fucking get out, you know, those water balloon launchers? You know those? Like two people hold on to them? A sling? Come sure. On. Come on, you guys.
Yeah.
You've used them. Suppy. You like launch water balloons inside a house. It makes the loudest noise ever. Anyway, it's like someone took a Hearthstone beta key and water ballooned it right to my face. And it's been pretty great. I won't lie. They made a good
game. Is it really fun? Like, I expected it. I didn't know what it was. Then I checked Twitch out and saw people playing it. I was like, first Twitter was like, the Twitter feed was like, oh my god, it's so much fun, like action or whatever. And then I checked it out and it's like some fucking card game. Like,
it's a card game. And, you know, trading card games, I think over the last few years, have really been making a big comeback. You know, even on Twitch, like Magic the Gathering, Wizards of the Coast has a channel they do. Star City Games has an ongoing channel. There's a bunch of streamers. And there's also like Hex and a few other games, Soulforge, that have been making their rounds. And I think Blizzard, they know how to make like a nice, pretty game that interacts nicely, and they've used their lore on top of that, and it's based off of their normal TCG with some changes. So for like entry level and into a higher level trading card game, or actually it's a collectible card game, you don't trade anything, but it's pretty good.
But aren't card games supposed to be real life so you can use cards?
Yes, that's a great point, Thorzane. That's kind of why their digital approach is unique. Because basically, as you collect the cards, if you get extra cards, then you disenchant them to be able to make other cards that you don't have.
I'm sorry, what do you do to them, Wheat?
That's right. Hold on. Hold on to your butts, in control. You disenchant them.
How do you go about doing that?
Because I disenchanted cards.
No, I mean, how do you disenchant cards?
What do you mean? You go to your little fucking card catalog book?
Sick.
It's virtual. You don't have to... Like, it's like, no more do you need to buy giant land packs and have, you know, just... Now you just... anyway.
Hey, it's why don't different. They make it so, like, StarCraft experience and, like, whatever game experience, you can, like, use that to buy, like, booster packs and stuff. Wouldn't that be smart?
Actually, that would be smart. Play other games, get... Dude, Suppy.
Blizzard, better be listening.
Blizzard marketing guru. Best Blizzard marketing guru NA, as far as I'm concerned.
Who's the best at Hearthstone so
well,
far?
Everyone who is playing and everyone who's not playing
no,
is the fucking
Wheat.
Best.
That's
no,
what
I'm
you tell
at,
your
I'm
son
at,
about organized sports.
No,
there is
I'm,
someone that's
I'm,
best.
Yeah, it's everyone who's not playing, Jeff. Like, to be totally honest with you, everyone who is not playing is the best. And I'm only basing this off of the sheer amount of backseat gaming that is happening from people watching these streams.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's like every
so you're
person...
So you're doing an elaborate Twitch chat complaint right now, right?
Yeah, basically. You were supposed to pick up on that and be like, oh yeah, I know, just like in StarCraft 2.
Obviously, right? You go with the fireball right now.
It was bad. No, I mean, like, it was so funny to the point where guys were like, you are a moron! You could have done this! And, like, actually, like, they would be angry at moves that I couldn't physically make. They'd be like, why didn't you attack and trade with that minion? And I like they had an enemy that prevented me from doing that. And it's just like, you're terrible. I'm out of here. I'm burning like this doll that looks like you. Peace. And I'm okay. Enough about this shit. Already taking up too much time. Gentlemen, Thorzane, how you been this week?
Been in Germany. in Krefeld, where Take lives. Hung out
Congrats
some.
Congrats to your girlfriend.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, she was very happy. She yeah. did quite handily.
Did anyone think it wasn't going to be quite handily? I don't know. I just
hopefully not too handily. Know what I mean?
I expected her to just win.
Yeah, that's what we expected too. But then she lost the first best of seven. They played three best of sevens, and she won two of them.
Oh,
no, she won two of them.
Three best of sevens.
Yeah, over the the weeks. Like only one best of seven now, but two.
Okay.
Previously,
and they're all TBT, right?
Yeah, mech against mech.
God. Who would want to watch that? No slight to flow.
I don't know, man. When you see like some of the production that went into it, and they had the like, I don't know if you guys.
I like the Take's face with Flo's melded
like,
together.
That was happening in real time, Jeff. That's what you got to understand.
Okay.
Like, it was funny as hell. It was.
That
did
is
you watch
pretty
it?
Funny. I didn't watch it, no.
I watched a few parts of it, yeah.
So, yeah, I spent some time in Cologne, which is a pretty cool city, I think. Well, it's my favorite city in Germany, but I have only been to, like, three cities, so.
I've never been.
And I managed to qualify to WCS again, Premier League.
Beat Rhett and then someone TBT, right? Who is that?
Yeah, Bunny.
Bunny, oh, that's right. Yeah. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, I went into it expecting not much because I had been losing a lot lately. But then I was hoping I'd get third place so I would still stay in Challenger League. But then...
He accidentally won.
Yeah, I won't complain.
Won't complain. All right, gentlemen, Suppy, hello.
Hello, hello. Had a busy weekend.
Yeah.
No golden trophy for this guy.
I was expecting your TL EPing to be increased over this weekend, but apparently it was a ProDOS party. What happened?
Yeah. Went to the LAN Hammer LAN. Bunch of pros, all EG people and Root people came, and then Hendrilisk and the one and only Hello Kitty, who actually like stayed at my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was fun. It was like a local LAN event, but it was like
many
good players.
Did you cook for him, or do you only feed him in StarCraft?
Oh, that was a good. That was fucking good, Jeff. That was like a one out of 100, man. Beautiful.
But you don't feed him in StarCraft. That's like a
I know moment. It was loosely based on gaming.
That was good. I like that.
No, I 2-0'd him in the tournament, okay?
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Got revenge. A little bit.
And he was all mad for like 10 minutes. And then...
Try and beat your house, Suppy. I'm done with this tournament.
Hung out with Blitz Dota. We went to like the Twitch offices yesterday. And... now it's Tuesday.
Inside the game day.
It is. Welcome back, gentlemen. In control.
Gentlemen in control.
Gentlemen in control.
What the hell?
That's like, you call me Mr. In Control, you son of a bitch. Gentlemen in control.
Gentlemen Weed, I accept your apology. This weekend I casted 5 SC2L matches and went to the dog park with my dogs. Went and saw Kick-Ass 2, which was terrible. Do not go see that.
Wait, I have a question. Have you read the comics?
No.
All right.
So, here's the thing. Unless the comics are, like, ironically so terrible that people actually enjoy it, kind of like a bad movie, I can't imagine the second movie was, like, close to the comics and people enjoy that. It's just, there was funny parts, and okay.
So,
but...
the first one is actually... in my opinion, I thought the first one sucked. I loved it, right? Like, it was cool. I like how they brought a lot of it together. They drastically changed some key plot points that really kind of just I wasn't too fond of. Mm. Now, from what I actually heard is that 2 stays closer to the book, which wasn't funny necessarily. It was more like dark and ridiculously hyper-violent.
Okay. This wasn't that violent.
All right. Someone said it did not follow the comic at all. All right. Well, then that sucks, Jeff.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I consider myself a pretty good movie critic. Like, yes, I understand that it is supposed to be like close to the books, and the books are different. But in terms of just sheer entertainment value, it just wasn't good. It just was not. If it was so dark humor that it's actually beyond me, then I might come to accept that. But I like dark humor, and this was just like irresponsibly just poor. So,
well, then I made the right decision, I think.
Yeah.
I actually went and saw Jobs instead.
How was that?
I really liked it.
Jobs?
I really, yeah.
It's like Wedding Crashers 2, basically, right?
It's about Steve Jobs.
Oh, Steve Jobs. I thought it was the Google.
No, okay. You got
Oh, I thought you were serious for a second there.
It's about Steve Jobs.
Yeah. That's good. You went and saw a movie about a rich guy. All right.
That's the one that Ashton Kutcher did?
Yeah. Yeah. And he did a pretty good job. He did a pretty good job. I'm very fond of that time frame because it is sort of like a big deal in my life because the dawn of personal computing like totally set me down the path that put me in this chair right now. So it was good shit, man. It was good shit. You guys ready to talk about not Kick-Ass 2?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. Where are we going to start? Let me bring up our list. Oh, yeah. So we've got a correction. Last week on episode 81 of Inside the Game, the gentleman reported that Innovation was the only person from last season finals that have made it back to the season finals. This is no longer correct. Since Jim cannot go to the season finals, technically Alive will be the second person from last season finals.
EG!
Yes. So sneaking that one in there, just we thought we'd correct that before the trolls got to us. But let's move on. We'll talk more about WCSC.
Well, he's like the consolation repeat, though, right? At the time of the last week's episode, he was not.
He was not. He was not. So it's just a correction so that people know that we're staying on top of shit. So first and foremost, actually competing with us right now, MLG, they are running a classics program that shows the best matches of StarCraft II at MLG. The audience vote on the winner with tweets. And I don't know. I guess I wanted to hear what you guys thought about it. The reason I bring it up is because, you know, I would say maybe around like 2009, someone did this with Quake. And I thought it was a really good idea. I was like, man, you know, there was still a lot of people that were excited about this. Maybe this is something that people get involved with. But you almost find that, you know, it's like people still want that live mentality. I don't know. That maybe is the nostalgia enough? Is it grabbing an audience that they just kind of, you know, pushed away with a tweet? Like, what do you guys think about it?
It's either this or MLG is not doing StarCraft II content, I would imagine. Or in the past, they did a show where actually I've got hammer drunk and faced people online.
Yeah, that was like this last weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's entertaining, but I guess the livers of Axelab probably couldn't take that being a regular show. So, I mean, it's a neat idea, like you said. It's not going to... I haven't tuned in a single time, and it's not changing my life in any way, but I'm looking at it right now, and there's about 4.5 thousand people watching, which is a healthy and decent stream, and, you know, some of these matches people missed or would like to watch, so it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I remember last week how we were talking, or was it 2 weeks? I think it was last week. We were talking about how, you know, MLG was kind of like, oh, look at all these good times we had. And remember all the good times we had back in the day? So I think this might be like one of the ways they've been trying to emphasize that. And I think it's a good idea. I mean, I think it's cool. There's a lot of nostalgia. But that is possibly one of the reasons they decided to put it on as well.
I mean, honestly, there's a part of me that's like, I always find it funny that these companies make a lot of content. Like, a lot of money goes into making an MLG event. Mm. I mean, not to say, like, I would just spam a channel with content all the time, but I think doing stuff like this is a great way of getting additional value out of your content. The timing might seem a little odd, but, like, it would be great if maybe... You know, we saw other organizations do this over time. Or I always thought, you know, what was the last one? Asus ROG. Asus ROG had like a 2-hour fucking holding screen before their finals. Like, wouldn't it be cool if they just showed the last, you know, let's the, you know, before right. we get started, here's the 2012 finals from last year. Go. And boom, they throw some content in there. So, I mean, maybe it'll encourage some people to do that, but I don't know. Thorzane, do you ever get interested in watching older matches?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now, and, well, even though this series right now is from Hyun and Polt, this last MLG, I think it's actually a pretty good idea. I like watching old... I like the idea of watching old games, even though I would never really watch old games normally. But, like, if right now they would be showing... I saw the list earlier. I don't remember the game specifically, but, like, I thought it was, like, Select against Huck from MLG 2010.
Right.
I would probably, like, check it out because, like... I don't even remember what the game was like back then.
That's that would be... That was actually the Mothership game. That's not
Scrap
Halo
Scrap Station Mothership that was Huck, like, quitting because he couldn't beat Select, basically. It was a terrible game.
Yeah, I'd be interested in watching that. Do I think it's a good idea? Yes. Do I think it's a good idea? What?
I like that you're verbalizing the check marks that you're going through. Like, do I think it's a good idea? Yes. Do I want to watch it? No, not really.
It's kind of like ESPN Classics. Like, we have this channel. Or I don't know if it still exists, but it was called ESPN Classics, and you'd turn to it, and it'd sometimes be like some black and white boxing, or, you know, an old. I always used to love to watch it because I was like, oh my god, this is like 1989, and it looks like the television graphics and lower thirds and stuff are just the ugliest pieces of shit that you've ever seen in your life. But so I gotta imagine there's probably some small audience for it, but. It doesn't get as many views as, like, the main ESPN. But historically, is that what you're saying, Thorzane, is that it's cool from a historical point of view because it's, like, you get to see these games and, like, strategies that just, frankly, aren't around anymore?
Yeah, you get to see the game from what it was 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's, like, if this is something they replace new content with. Maybe it's not... like such a good thing, but if it doesn't really affect other content, I think why not? Like, yep. It's better than nothing.
It is better than nothing. You can check that out over on the I believe it's just MLGSC2, but not now. Later.
Yeah, later. Don't you dare.
Don't do that. All right, so we're going to talk about the Acer Team Story Cup, and there's two aspects to this. Well, there was the actual tournament itself. The playoffs were into this weekend, into the finals, and there was also some drama around it. And let's talk about the tournament itself, should we? Or should we talk about the drama first?
No, I think there's... interesting conversation to be had even just about the tournament itself as well.
Yes, absolutely. So, I have a discussion point to sort of make about the drama, but let's do talk about the Acer Team Story Cup 2013. First and foremost, the fact that the Team Story Cup coming from this concept of the Home Story Cup with teams, not quite the same, but, you know, along those same lines, and Dennis taking sort of that idea and concept and once again being a driving force behind non-WCS StarCraft II content. But here's the brackets. Admittedly, guys, I didn't really get to watch that much. So I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on the tournament or the finals. Like, what I watched was mostly during the season.
Well, even stepping back from the finals, I would just say that this tournament was very interesting because it was a couple of concepts that have been discussed as very problematic, and they challenged it and took it on. The first one being that this is an international tournament, meaning it had North American teams and, like, Root, and Quantic had certain North American players as well. Then it also had Koreans and MVP and Axiom and everybody else. And then, of course, it was very much so European-based. So I felt like one of the things that's really undesirable is to cast from replays. We do that in SC2L, and obviously that's really suboptimal. So ATC says, no, we're gonna cast them live. And that's supposed to be like really impossible. And for the most part, we could see the pain. Like there was so many matches delayed indefinitely or just simply not played. And it took a really long time. But the end result was that they were able to get the majority of their season played out in a pretty succinct fashion. I say succinct because it wasn't timely. This tournament took place over like 3 or 4 months, which is actually
right.
really long. And I would say that's one of the problems too, is just that people... I read the thread about the ATC after the finals, and a lot of people were like, yeah, this went on way too long. It's really hard to pull a narrative from that or a story or even follow it, really, because there's so many matches going on all the time. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they took that on. And I don't know. I'd leave it to the audience to decide which one's better. Is it better to do it by replays and have all the players playing at time zones and times that are better for them, or is it better to just cast it live and to do the best you can in terms of time zones like that and stuff. So they made it work. They made it happen. This tournament has concluded, so I thought that was interesting. And then format-wise, I, from the very beginning, was very uncomfortable with the Joker rule in particular. Like, SC2L, like I said, already has, like, they copied that rule to a certain extent where one player can come back, but then they right. can't play in the ace. But in ATC, one guy can come back 3 times, and that's... Again, I would leave it to the audience because they're the ones that decide. But for me personally, I was uncomfortable with that because we'd see like Hyun. I think he basically was all the wins for Quantic because they didn't have anybody else that won. But Hyun did win like 2 or 3 matches nearly by himself. It's interesting.
Yeah. I was there watching the finals. I didn't really follow the regular season a lot. So I don't really have any comments on that. But the finals, it was... very similar to a Home Studio Cup for the players. Like, there was the same kind of food and players could cast if they wanted to, even though I guess mostly just the players who didn't really have teams were casting. But I really like the idea of having a team league with an offline final, because yeah. it's so much more fun and I was not playing, so I could just observe the teams like trying to all bunch together and talk strategies, who to seed on which map and who's going to play the ace match. Like, really the teams interacting with each other and within each other. And something I really missed from Warcraft 3 when we had like WC3L in StarCraft 2, there wasn't really anything like that on an international scale. There was the Korean leagues, like GSTL. Yeah. And I think team tournaments are really fun in general as a player. So I was kind of jealous.
Just having to be the spectator.
Yeah.
Seppy, what about you?
I thought overall the whole thing was pretty well run. Yeah, there were some problems, like Jeff mentioned. But... overall, I had a lot of fun watching the entire season, especially because they always uploaded replays, which I don't know if people did know about, but yeah. I was always one to download like every single replay pack because it was just so helpful and there's so many games to watch. And I watched a lot of the finals too, a lot of the Zerg games, I guess. And, I think there is some really good games. Dream versus Scarlet on Red City was one of the games that got a lot of attention. I personally think that Scarlet made...
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it yesterday. I personally feel like Scarlet made like a ton of mistakes on that game. Like I felt like she should have won like 3 times or more in that game, but ended up being like an insanely sick close game. So if you guys haven't checked out that... Oh, okay, I guess I already spoiled it. But if you haven't watched it yet, you should...
Oh, it's up on the screen,
spoil.
Too.
Oh, okay. That was
it's
a good
fine.
Game.
They can just wait 2 years and watch it on the MLG Classic stream. All right.
I like that MVP won, by the way, speaking of spoilers. Because, and this is actually another issue that I meant to talk about, I kind of forgot. But they actually fundraised to get themselves there. And that's kind of cool. But it was also sad because they were fundraising during WCS Finals Week. And the international. So every time I tuned in the stream, they only had like 300 or 400 people watching anything they did. Oh. And it's like Team MVP, they're really good players. And I think they raised a decent amount of money. Like people, it doesn't matter necessarily how many are watching. It just matters that the right people are watching that are like, here's a couple $100. And that goes a long way. But the issue I would bring up, and this is something that I think feeds a little bit into the drama, I guess, was that if you're going to have a team league to incentivize the teams to send their players to that finals to pay for that trip, I feel like you have to be talking about like $50,000
right.
in prize or right. hundred something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because all these teams, like, and I don't blame Take because I followed the drama, so I know he actually didn't clearly state it, but he never actually said that your expenses will be paid. It's from the very beginning, it was said that we'll provide a $1,500 stipend. It just wasn't as clear as it probably should have been to avoid a lot of the issues. But I don't know. I can't imagine, like, if EG qualified, and we look at that and we say, do we send five players to Germany to compete for a grand prize of, you know, a nice prize pool? I'm not trying to say it's bad, but not for a team league after expenses.
Oh, what's the prize pool? Do you know? What's the first place prize?
I don't 10,000. Know. Was it first
Isn't
place?
That like, what if it was a solo tournament? I'm not that, like, it doesn't make that little sense that EG would send five players to a solo tournament, which had $10,000 first place prize. Like, it has happened before. Maybe.
I don't know that I... It's basically, like, what you say is interesting, but I don't know how to tell you. I don't know. When you send five individual players to win a tournament, like, if it is $10,000 at the end of the... If you're comparing to, like, an MLG, the exposure you get from MLG is infinitely more than you would get from an ATC, which the stream peaked out at like 20,000 versus an MLG where it's terrible if it's anything less than 60. So you have more exposure. It's probably a domestic flight. We don't actually send 5+ players internationally very often. And when we do, it's only a DreamHack or an MLG, which again, not international.
I think people just don't like team leagues as much as solo leagues in general, or do you think it's...
No, I don't think that's the case at all.
There's just
Pro
less...
gets good viewership. Pro League gets good viewership. It's just that this was a foreigner-ran one. But I guess the point I would try to make here, as I was saying, is that if you're going to run a team league finals like that and then ask the teams to pay for their way to go there, I could see Take running like a European exclusive tournament or making teams sign an agreement that says you will send yourselves to this tournament.
Right.
So that's a big part of the reason it didn't happen.
Should we shift to like that side of it? Because that's the discussion point, right? Like recently we've had issues within the WCS about players qualifying and then being unable to come. Sometimes because they you know, government or visa issues. Other times because maybe ongoing issues they might have already known about. In this case, it kind of like rolls itself into this whole drama, which, you know, you can look at specifically what happened. Like, honestly, there was a bunch of threads. It's kind of all done and gone, but there was some exchange of words, you know, whether miscommunication happened. It really, you only know between the two parties. But the bigger point is that, you know, when does it come down to that, Jeff? Like, if you are going to have these online finals with offline finals, when does it come down to, you know, to enter into this league, we're going to need you to just sign this that says
right.
you will do, you know, here's the considerations that we will make to get you there, but that there's a clear understanding. And, you know, I think to protect both sides.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's not just this is to protect Home Story Cup or Team Story Cup, or this is to protect, in this case, Axiom. But I do wonder if maybe... You know, maybe that's not an inappropriate thing to do. That would be.
I don't.
Perfectly
I mean,
reasonable.
Try to imagine a world where Jenna did sign an agreement that says, "I understand that I am responsible for sending my team to the finals with a $1,500 travel stipend." This drama never would have happened, right? Because either, and this is a weird hypothetical, because Jenna would never do this. Either she goes back on her word, in which case, it's not like we sue. You know, like the international court is like, Jenna, we find you guilty of lying, your team's under arrest, like that doesn't happen. But Take is clear. He's safe. And he's like, well, you just fucked me over, or vice versa. Like, if Take goes back on his word, now Jenna has a document that says she understood exactly what was going on, and she knows what's happening. So I hope this is, to your point, a learned lesson where team leagues, or whatever, in the future, if they have to pay for travel in a tournament that they're qualifying for, they better know what goes into it, and they better have signed something that says, A, we'll get the support we were asked, or B, we will follow through with our word. Because also Take's tournament gets a lot of its story taken away because of this drama. You know, Jenna handled it pretty well, and well, It wasn't as bad as it could have been, is I guess what I would say. But imagine where a world where Jenna just flips absolute shit and this becomes a huge mess and it doesn't get resolved. Total Biscuit's not apologizing. Jenna's not, you know, trying to be kind and stuff like that. Or Take flips shit. Like, Take just starts coming out of the woodwork and going evil Take. That would have ruined this tournament. And that would have really sucked for this scene. We can't afford to throw tournaments away.
Right. Well, I guys, what do you... Any thoughts on this, the situation, the whole idea of, like, do you think it's unreasonable to be, like, if you're going to compete in this league that could eventually lead to an offline finals, we need you to sign this or have some sort of an agreement? Or
no, I don't think it's unreasonable. It makes sense. Especially, like, it's such a long-term tournament, so they... Let me rethink this. If they already signed up for a tournament and played all the play days, it makes sense that there should be... Like, they should know the rules in first place and know that they have to send all their players if they qualify. But I guess the stipend thing wasn't really as clear as it could have been. But even then... I think it's better to assume that you're going to have to pay than just assume that it's already paid for. But I like the idea of having the contract saying that you will definitely go if you qualify.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any like alternative to that, but I don't see any alternative. Like, the alternative is like not say that, which is basically what happened. So right. I think you really do have to do something like that, and that would fix all the issues, so... I don't know if there's any other better solution, but I can't think of any off the top of my head right now.
We ran into something similar with this in NASL back when I worked with them, and that was that you actually had to – that was part of the – there was controversy about this for a little while, but they actually asked for and required a deposit to be in the league because it was money that they would take away from you or give back to you rather at the end of the season if you didn't make mistakes.
Oh, but right.
If you, for instance, like didn't show up or didn't care or you're already eliminated so you just don't play anymore – that would be penalized against you. But also, something that we ran into was like Slayer sent like four players to the finals, and NESL helped with the travel, but they didn't pay for travel. They just helped with some of it. And it was like at the end of the season when Slayer started to realize they were going to have to pay several $1,000s to send their players, they actually contacted NESL and were like, yeah, you need to pay for our travel, otherwise we're just not going to send anyone, and we'll tell everyone that you guys are the worst league ever. And NESL was like, whoa, what the fuck? But that was dirty, shady stuff. And that's what this kind of thing stops from happening, was because basically right. what Russ did in reply was like, well, I have a document here that shows you agreeing to this whole thing. So you can say whatever you want to the community, but the bottom line is you went into an agreement understanding what you would have to do, and now you're trying to change the deal. So they worked out a deal, and it didn't get public, and it didn't become a shitstorm. But... you have to have this stuff in writing because when it comes to business, some people aren't friends. You know, it's money first, and that's not necessarily evil. It's just what you have to do to survive.
Great. Well, let's move on. Continuing our topics of discussion, the WCG Korea qualifier took place this weekend, and you know, I'll tell you what, like this shit used to be like a big deal. Nowadays. No, I didn't even know that it was really going on until after the fact. But Parting pulls off a perfect tournament at WCG Korea, going 2-0 the whole way through. And
stopped Sora from doing the same thing, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Sora, who's a CG Antis player, pulls upset after upset to take second place. And some other big victories were Innovation beating Solky to qualify in third place. Got a Parting's reaction to beating Sora. Hold on, I have to load it up.
Parting was so happy after beating Innovation.
I don't get what that ceremony is. He's like flipping people off. God, I hate Parting.
Are you going to try to anger his gaming spirit again, Suppy? Is that what you're doing right now?
Yeah, I'm going to dishonor his professional gaming spirit.
It's going to come after you, man.
What is it? What
I don't know what that is.
You don't remember this story, Wade?
What?
All right. Suppy plays Parting.
No, I mean this... Okay. Yeah, tell me the story, but what is Parting doing? I'll just look and try to figure
well,
out.
Anyways, at WCS last like year, and Suppy actually watched the replays before playing him, which, by the way, every Korean and their grandmother does all the time. Like, that's part of what you do to prepare for a match. But Parting saw this and really didn't like that Suppy was doing that. So after he gets done crying but then beats Suppy anyways, he, in an interview, literally said that he saw Suppy doing this and it angered his gaming spirit because, or his pro gaming spirit, because he doesn't think it's fair and stuff. So, call Suppy a bunch of names.
What were you going to say? What do you think he's doing?
I thought it was like he was, it looked like a finger first, like he was flipping him off. But then it was just a big
clear
sign.
Oh, a piece. Oh, ice. Oh, God, it all makes sense now. Yes, now that I see it, can't
like you're
unsee.
Supposed to be like, oh, what yeah, the hell like is he's, he doing? They're like, oh, okay. He's like, just happy that he won.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, though, with the way he does that? That's still like the British sign for fuck you. Because peace sign's like this, but his fingers are like this. You know, he goes like this, and then he goes like that. That's still British for fuck you, from what I understand.
Yeah, isn't it like if it's it, peace is outward, and a fuck you is like this.
Yeah, so he still did it.
Yeah,
not that he would necessarily. I don't know.
Yeah, but that is the meta of that motherfucker. That's the meta of that shit. Oh my God, Parting.
Multiple meanings.
Parting, you're a goddamn genius in game and out. Look at you go. Look at you go. That took place this weekend. I don't even know if it was broadcast, to be honest.
Yeah, it was.
It was?
It was by OSL or whatever, but I don't know. We've had this talk, like, I remember us laughing about the death of WCG like a year ago on Inside the Game, and yet here we are, it's limping around, and I know that Huck was playing, so I got to experience his side of, like, what WCG is, and actually, you guys are all playing. Aren't you still playing Suppy and Libo and stuff? Libo, rather?
In WCG? Yeah. We're all still in it.
What's your experience? I guess you're better than me to talk about it.
For the WCG qualifier?
Yes.
How far are you?
I mean, we're... it's like top 8. I don't know. It's fucking funny. You just play your matches one after the other.
Sick good story you got going here. Thank you for your experience recap on WCG.
What are we talking about? Oh, you just play your games.
Yeah. Talk show host Suppy, ladies and gentlemen. Talk show host Suppy.
Oh, here we go. Here's the qualifiers.
WCS next season. Suppy, what do you feel about WCS next season?
I just play StarCraft.
All right.
Where the hell? They don't even have... I can't even find the U.S. qualifications. Where is it,
Thorzane, can you tell me about Suppy's experience in WCG?
Oh, he's... He's enjoying it a lot. He's definitely, he's funny. He's really happy to be part of WCG again. He's really excited about hopefully meeting Parting in the finals.
How does he feel about the maps? Like, is he cool with the format so far? Or
not
he
really.
About...
He doesn't like they have Red City and Whirlwind in the map.
Oh.
And they actually have Cloud Kingdom as well. So he's not very happy about that.
Yeah. Suppy, are you taking notes on...
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Oh, Hello Kitty.
Is he there?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Working his way up.
Poor Suppy.
He's coming for you.
He's like, can I stay at your house while I beat you at WCG? Or...
Moving on.
Is any part of WCG USA going to be offline? Like the top 8 or something?
I seriously doubt it. But
oh,
I
no,
could
just
be
the finals,
wrong.
From what I understand.
Yeah, none of us on. Yeah.
I haven't even heard a single word about WCG Sweden.
Yeah, Sweden was actually
kick ass. Like,
Sweden was one of the big ones back. Yeah. Like U.S., Sweden, Korea, Germany was a big one. U.K. was a big one.
Maybe they've already decided to drop StarCraft 2, which would make me really sad.
WCG?
Yeah, and WCG Sweden.
Oh, Sweden? I don't know.
Yeah.
That would be Unfortunate.
I think with the way WCG works is that the various partners have to basically say, yes, we'd like to send somebody, and then they pay for everything, whereas in the back, WCG would subsidize some of that cost. But now it's like...
Yeah, it's a lot here now.
They have to pay for the travel and the license. And the license is really expensive, right?
$2,000 or some shit? Yeah.
Yeah.
Per play. $2,000?
License is a cool way of saying, by the way, pay us to do it.
Do you know what it used to be, like back in like 2002 and stuff? At one point, ESWC was doing licenses for $40,000.
Per country or per like? That's going to be like per country.
$40,000 for what?
For the license to be an ESWC qualifier.
Like, someone would go write the check to ESWC for the honor to run a qualifier.
Yes. Now, travel considerations in a lot of cases were picked up by ESWC. So in But man.
So should their fucking. They should get like life insurance, and their dads should get a check just because their sons are doing. I don't know. What the hell? $40,000?
It's ridiculous. That's, nowadays, $2,000, that's a steal. That's a steal, man. I'm going to buy the, have it in my basement. Be like WCG USA in my basement. I've bought the fucking license.
Dude, WCG last year, I think it was last year, someone won the thing. Huck took like second or third. And then
someone won WCG?
WCG USA or North America. And then they found out, they're like, okay, great. Now all we need from you is the $2,000 fee to go attend, and then send yourself there, and you can compete for that WCG prize. And they were like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they, of course, couldn't do it. But evil geniuses money bags over here, we were like, hell yeah, we'll send Huck. You bet your ass. Paid his way. He took third slash first in North America.
That reminds me of back in Warcraft 3 days. I think it was the last... Warcraft 3 WCG that Sweden had a representative. There wouldn't be any, they wouldn't pay the trip nor the license. So we had, I think we had three spots. Two people showed up at the tournament, both qualified by default. Neither showed up to the grand finals.
Man, that was too bad, because that's actually a great experience. They could have.
Yeah, I mean, my sister could have gone there and be like, "Hey, I'm gonna be a Swedish representative for WCG."
God, how awesome would that have been?
Champion your sister for 1 year, like.
Yeah, she could actually brag by being like the best Swedish Warcraft 3 player.
Next up on stage, Thorzane's sister from Sweden versus Sweet from Korea. That would be great.
It's sad,
and I like that she'd be referred to as Thorzane's sister. That's good.
That's her. So Nick officially.
Previous accomplishments. That's what it lists. Like,
what? What did you just get so excited about? What?
Finally, it took me like so long to find it.
What?
The exact wording of what Parting said.
Oh, okay.
I like had to find it.
Tell me. Enlighten us.
Blah 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 blah. Blindly built 15 spine crawlers. Blah blah blah. My pride as a professional gamer could not tolerate such action, so I decided. So I decided to show him what for by attacking him even harder.
What the hell? I like it. I like that. And my favorite part about 2 is that a lot of StarCraft 2 fans are pretty in tune with things like Dragon Ball Z and anime and shit. So like when he says, so I attacked him even harder, that actually clicks with a lot of the people that probably read that. They're like, oh yeah, okay. He attacked him harder. What the fuck? No, he didn't attack him harder. He was attacking as hard as he possibly could beforehand. It's not like he's like, well, I'm probably going to win this, but now I'm going to win it more. Let's. I'm not missing that.
Power overwhelming.
Sure, shit, I'm getting supply blocked here. Whoa, I'm on top of my Corona boost. On top of my, you know, like, what does that look like? It's amazing.
Some patch notes were released this week. Actually, two things. We had the call to action, and then we also have patch notes. And the patch notes are pretty standard, but they do this interesting thing where they now show all destructible rocks as giant fucking dots on the minimap.
I feel like that could just be our natural discomfort with change. Like, I look at the minimap, and certainly on Whirlwind in particular, it looks terrible. There's just these gigantic blue blobs everywhere, you know? But I think people should hold off and give it a little bit of time. Maybe we're just not used to it, is what I would say. But it is also completely pointless, right?
And then when the rocks are destroyed, they disappear?
I would imagine so.
But what about the ones yet, actually. That collapse?
Yeah, wouldn't it show both down?
Oh, good question. Someone should test that.
I wouldn't mind if it was... No. I feel like it would be better, at least aesthetically, if it was... Like actually, like a physical rock on
for
the
for those
main
that
map.
Haven't seen, I'm gonna bring it up right now. But it literally like does. Rock? Someone said, like nexuses everywhere because that's just kind of I don't know why, but there we go.
It does look
PFs.
Ugly.
It's like we've now installed PFs at all the ramps to just shoot at whatever they want to. It just randomly generates a target and decides I want that one dead.
Hey man, they were still in a brood war. They got bored with maps. So they started putting in things like disruption webs and shit, just idle. That was crazy.
They put command centers, and if you like were Zerg, you could like attack it and then infest it. And just,
yep.
It was just a random command center in the middle of the map.
I did that.
Make 500 damage banelings.
Infested Terrans were sick, man. Yeah. And they ran fast too. For the swarm. They're like little nukes.
Scourge AI though.
So, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. Like at first glance, it's just like, what the hell am I looking at? All these dots. But yeah, there could be something to it. Did someone in chat mention what the behavior is of the dots when a rock is actually knocked down? Because I think that's kind of.
I think it must make another one, like the Akalon one. If you knock that down, it must make another one.
Someone is saying it does display the choke blocks.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Is that the only thing they changed in the patch? I mean, I guess there's like bug fixes.
There's a few bug fixes.
Graphical stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's actually any balance. But there is the call to action balance testing, which I don't think we... These are I think changes that they had talked about, but now they're actually telling us what they're implementing in the map. So if you remember, they were going to possibly make Vipers full energy. Not happening at this point. Terran armory, vehicle, and ship weapons upgrades have been combined, which they did during the beta, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't there a while where this was happening?
Just armor. This is the attack. Yeah. I feel like that's new. Okay.
I think they did do both for a while in the beta, but
Nowadays
it's just like in the game right now it's only the armor, but I think they tried both and for some reason they didn't decide to go through with it. And now they're reverting back to
kind of what it was
combined.
They did put in the Overseer change where the Carapace upgrade now increases Overseer movement speed to 3.375, which was formerly 2.75, which means it's pretty fast. Definitely interested in seeing that change. But then, in sort of a complete, where did this come from? The health increased for the Ultralisk by 50.
Yeah, and I think they said the reason was because TVC late game, it's hard to be in a lot of places at once or something. So they buff Ultralisks. Like, the strength of TVC, of the Zerg late game, is like, they have this army, which is going to be so much more expensive than a Terran's army, so they're probably going to win the fight. Like, they might not be cost effective, but they'll probably roll the Terran over if they take a decent fight. Like, it's really slow and immobile.
Yeah,
so I think it's interesting, though, because it's like the issues with late game TVZ is that Widowmines get out of control, or Ravens don't really have an answer unless you fungle them and then have Corruptors. And even then, that's probably Seeker Missile in the face. Terrans, like you said, the Zerg army is way super expensive, but it's not going to be cost effective. Like, that's a big deal. If you mass out an Ultralisk, they just have to kite back with Marauder Medivac and into a minefield, and it feels like the Ultralisks get wasted, 50 health or not, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. Like, the problem is, I think, that the Terran, when they have Ultralisks and no Mutalisks left, it's really easy to drop them everywhere and kind of stay defensive with mines while you just do damage and take more bases. Mm-hmm. And now I don't think that's really going to be solved with this. Like, the only like, it makes the Zerg death ball, if you want, stronger, but it will not help with defending against drops and multi-pronged attacks at all. Like, even before the 50 HP increase, if you had an Ultralisk at the spot, it would already defend the drop. Like, it won't change the dropping thing at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just gonna say, I'm interested to see if, however, like a change like this is going to incentivize Zergs to tech to Hive faster. I think one of the biggest things is we see a lot of Korean Zergs, especially sticking on Lair for super long, and it ends up being a 2-2 upgrade battle versus Terran's 3-3.
Did you read that thread on Reddit where like they suggested, like, what if, for example, you can tech to Hive on Spires? You can go either Infestor tech or Spire tech and then go into Hive. Or, like, make 3-3 available on Lair. So you still have to get 2-2. But then you have Lair, which would be equivalent to, like, the Twilight Council or the Armory.
I like that
idea. You don't need, like, the Twilight Council for 2-2 and then the Temper Archives for 3-3. Mm. It makes sense. Like, it wouldn't really... Like, you could get 3-3 on Ling Mutal Baneling.
Well, it's interesting. I'm not too, like... I don't find cross-race balance too terribly compelling because there's so many places where we look where it's like, well, Terran upgrade their mech armor, but then you make the argument like, well, they have to upgrade both. Well, there's air and ground, I guess, for all the races. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is like, there's a lot of places we look at between the three races where one has it better than the other on something, right?
Yeah, but I think sure. It would be very good for TVZ. Like, I think that would help a lot. If you make Ling Baneling Mutalisks viable even later in the game compared to now, it's like a limit. You have to play it until the 13-14 minute mark, and then you have to take to Hive.
But it now would help, still... actually. That's a good point.
Suppy, what do you think? What do you think about the idea of like teching Lair off of Spire? What do you think the idea about 3-3 upgrades being available, at least at Lair? Some of these ideas that have been thrown out. And, of course, the 50 health on the Ultra.
I think those suggestions are interesting, but I feel like it would really drastically change a lot of the matchups. Like, I think one of the big things, like ZVZ, for example, usually stay on 2-2, and if you could tech on 3-3, I don't know, it'd be a pretty big change.
I mean, ZVZ, still ZVZ, both could do it. And CVP are, like, would the 3-3 upgrades really matter as much as in TVZ? I don't think upgrades are probably not as important there as...
I mean, I'm not saying, like, it's...
CVT.
Yeah, I'm not saying, like, it's a bad idea, but, like, I think it's going to change way too many things more than the thing you... Like, the one thing you're trying to fix, it's going to affect, like, a bunch of other scenarios. For example, if you could tech 3-3 on Lair, say you're going Roach Hydra, one of the huge, like, downsides to Roach Hydra, I think, is that it's, like, stuck on 2-2 for, like, ages, and that's when Terran gets 3-3 and, like, can push you back. But if you could have 3-3... Roach Hydra really quickly, wouldn't you feel really, like, wouldn't that feel really strong to you? I'm not sure. Like, it would affect other situations.
I think the weakness in Roach Hydra is partly that, and also the fact that you're going to be rather supply inefficient when you're hitting max, and as long as I have tanks to defend, I'm not really going to be vulnerable to an all-in or, like, huge 2-2 timing, or even 3-3 timing in that case. And then I could drop you and get to like 200 supply and then probably be very cost efficient unless you have Hive. But by that time you would have 3-3 anyways because you'd have Hive. So I think a Lair Roach Hydra composition wouldn't be hard to beat even if it's got 3-3, what is it, like 400 gas cheaper.
Mm. It's a big buff. I think that's inescapable, and I kind of like the idea because as I think about it, like, it is a big buff, but it's not so drastic that I feel like it changes necessarily the super complexion of everything. Like, if a guy did want to go Roach Hydra against Terran versus Terran, I feel like it should be pretty scary, which Roach Hydra is. But as you said, Suppy, it like drops off big time once the upgrades start to kick in. The other thing there too is like medevac count. Once they start hitting like, well, okay, I don't need anything other than just pure medevacs, I'm gonna, you know, and they hit 8 medevacs, it's really hard for Zerg to compete with that. But that would be the risk. Whereas when I look at TVZ right now, outside of Roach Bane, I don't think Zerg is at all scary in TVZ up until pretty much ever. Like, I feel like the only time I see a Zerg win in the late game TVZ, or ZVT, excuse me, is when they defend attacks and the Terran, like, gets out there, gets mega fungled, and then the Zerg's like, well, now I just go finish the game. it's very rarely Zerg aggression all over the place, and then the Terran crumples, right? It's usually Terran on the aggressive side, then they fuck up and Zerg capitalizes. I think there should be fear in that matchup for Terran, right?
Yeah, but I mean, and one of the cool dynamics for me, at least for ZBT, is like, yeah, it is Terran always on the aggressive, but it's like really a cool dance between the like counterattacks of Zerg, because that's like the main thing that Zergs do to actually like maintain some map presence is they're constantly doing little counterattacks everywhere, trying to, you know, capitalize on the Terran, like not paying attention. And
sure,
that's one of the cool things. Like you do like a little counterattack with some Lings, and then you go immediately with your huge army, and that's when Terrans screw up most of the time, is because they're paying attention to the counterattack, and then their whole army gets like exploded by Banelings.
Well, I think that's what I like about this, is that it allows for that to still happen, but it also adds in something like the Terran has to really respect the Zerg army as well, to a certain extent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, upgrades aren't... Upgrades, usually, when I watch TVZ, obviously I'm not a Terran or Zerg player, but when I watch it, upgrades are pretty similar in terms of, like, Zergs have double Evo going, Terrans have double Engineering Bay, and that's where it stays. It's just that Terran doesn't miss a hiccup going to 3-3, but if Zerg stays on Mutaling Baneling just a little bit too long, that 3-3 upgrade for the Marine, because they're already trading fairly cost-effectively as long as they're not messing up, now they're trading really well. And I think a good example of that was Jadong versus Polt, Neo Planet S in particular, where Jadong's on four bases versus essentially two bases. He's crushing him. Well, not crushing him, but he's doing really well for himself. 3-3 hits, and it was over 2 minutes later. Like, Jadong was like, whoops, fuck, I still have Mutalis. They don't do anything anymore.
It's just like, it was every single time that that next batch of Banelings is being made, the Marines were closer and closer. Until finally they were attacking literally while the Banelings were more, and you just knew, like, and that was right as that sort of 3-3 hit right there.
Well, this is kind of, I mean, this is kind of interesting. I know I mentioned the Scarlet versus Dream game on Red City earlier on the show, and that game was also, I think, lost because she didn't have a hive until, like, 30 minutes. I actually looked at the timer. It was, like, a 30-minute hive. So he was trading for like 12 minutes with 3-3 against 2-2. But like, I don't know. I find it kind of weird because like both of you, the Terran and the Protoss, are advocating a buff for Zerg here. And I'm kind of like, maybe we should like hold on. But
I'm just saying, I don't think Dauntless buff is the way to go. I think there's other ways to look at it.
Yeah, you didn't comment on that, Suppy. What are you, the 50 health on the Ultralisk?
Well, so that's what I was thinking. Like, yeah, it's not really going to solve the problem, but maybe it'll spur the metagame to move towards getting a faster hive, which, like, I don't think a hive is that expensive. It's, like, 200, 150. And, like, I just, all the Koreans, at least for me, I like to get a decently fast hive, but a lot of the Korean players get really late hives. So maybe just adding 50 Ultralisk health, it's not a huge change at all, but maybe it'll be like, the Ultras are a little bit better. Maybe we should transition to Hive a little bit faster, which isn't that expensive, and then we can get that 3-3. And maybe it's just like a metagame shift that's required. I don't know.
Maybe. I think just the Ultralisk, if you were able to kite them before the 50 HP buff, you're going to beat them even when they have 50 more HP. If you weren't able to kite them and they just fought you, Ultralisks were already extremely strong and just like straight up attacking. And now they're going to be even more strong in that regard. I don't think it's going to be like... Yeah, I don't think they needed a buff when it comes to attacking. I think maybe like something else, something that made them able to attack instead. But I have no idea what that could be, because I don't think a speed buff would be in place.
What happened to that Ultralisk charge ability?
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Well, that was kind of
really ugly, and I think it's...
I think a Warp Prism-esque buff that would be kind of cool for Zerg is... and I know this is... I'm just spitballing here, so I haven't, like, written this out in the bathroom or something like that. But, like, reduced cost or raised health to something like a Nidus Worm, which certainly would affect CVP as well. Not that Zerg doesn't necessarily need help there. But I think it'd be cool because it's, like, a top-end buff where I don't know that I'd worry about low-level players abusing Nidus Worms, but being encouraged to use Nidus Worms better and more often. When was the last fucking time you saw a Nidus Worm in a ZVT? Like, it just doesn't happen.
Kim, are we getting on this horse? Because, like, it sucks. It's like, it actually is painful to see all this great utility in Protoss and Terran, and then the one utility can be completely just negated by the fact that the maps in, you know, main base is just too small to be able to do it anyway. I mean, the last time I feel like we saw Nidus is like when people were like, maybe I should use this to reinforce for swarm hosts. And we saw some success there, but where the fuck did that go? You know? It sucks that workers can kill that shit, man. It's just...
You know, certainly in-base stuff is a concern, but I mean even like spreading creep, exiting, like I counterattack with roaches and instead of them just dying, I Nidus Worm them out.
Like, what if the Nidus Worm was not weak when it was building, but then once it built, it became vulnerable, right? Like, there's a bunch of rocks coming out of the fucking ground. Every other rock on the map takes me 10 minutes to take down, except for the one that the Nidus Worm is coming out of. So, you know, if it was like, if that had the health, but then once it popped, you're still unit spit comes out in a slow piece, but then it's as weak as it normally is. Then it becomes like, well, it's up to the player to kill the Nidus Worm, right?
I think it'd be really hard to stop certain, like...
It'd be very bad for ZVP in particular, if it was super strong.
I know, yeah, you couldn't kill it with probes, and like the early game, like, Nidus... I know, even as a Terran player, there has been like games where you have like very few units, and the show went for like a really early two base Nidus Roach thing. And if you couldn't kill the Riders Nidus Worm with your Hellions and like six Marines until it popped, he would get out, like he could start by sending out four queens and then like transfuse it. And then, like, once you killed it, there's already 20 roaches in your base, and you have, like, 10 Marines.
No, come on. Dude, it's like fucking wet Kleenex, Thorzane. It's like wet Kleenex. The Nidus Worm is like wet Kleenex. You, like, look at it and give it an evil stare, and it just goes like that. If that was such an issue, if you catch it and you start beating on it, and you're like, oh, my God, it's going to pop, and then he sends units out, he's going to get two roaches out. Before you fucking kill it after. But
no,
at
but
least
said,
it
like,
gives a chance.
What if it sends a queen first? What if it sends a queen first?
Oh.
It's 100 energy.
And so that queen is just going to get like two transfuses out while another five seconds go by and another unit comes out? Like,
and then
people actually do that though. Like the queens,
I mean,
you usually put the queens in first so you can get transfuses
off.
Of
course.
Yeah, and then like it doesn't take much.
There's so much passion on this subject from Weed. I'm really taking it.
It's because it's such a cool mechanic.
It is.
ATC
it is.
No one uses it. Stuff in here. Nidus Worms?
Nidus Worms? Mini Weed, get my gun.
Did you know how fast Hellions and like a few Marines kill a Nidus Worm? Like, Hellions don't kill buildings, and like. It doesn't take a long time for 6-7 roaches to pop out, and by that time, you kill those roaches. After you pull the CVs, there will be another Nidus Worm.
Listen to his.
If
heart.
You can't kill it before it's morphed or whatever it's called, summoned.
I didn't say you couldn't kill it. I just say that it would be stronger as a, and then
like
when it popped out.
No. I have the perfect solution. Perfect solution.
It's instant.
It is the perfect solution. So. We did mention how like having it cheaper would make it more likely for Zergs to use it in the like later in the game and like use it as utility and stuff. But you don't want to. I don't think we should buff the health because I think workers should still be able to kill it if they find it like in time. I think the perfect solution is you can make it the same cost. Like say you were doing a roach cheese, you can make it the same cost by making the Nidus network say 150, 250. And then the Nidus Worm is 50-50. So the Nidus, like, each individual worm is much cheaper than before. It's usually 100-100. And the Nidus network is more expensive, so that means the cheese element, like, for early game use is still the same, but future Nidus networks later on in the game are, like, much cheaper. At only 50-50, I feel like a lot more people would be using them.
All about, you have, you're on Lair. It's got a certain amount of HP, and then when you're in Hive, it gets better. Or you pay an up. There's an upgrade in Hive, like
upgrades to make buildings have more health are stupid, HP. And you know that, Thor.
Did you say
upgrades to make buildings have more health are stupid? Nobody ever uses them, and you know that.
But it worked on a Nidus Worm. Like it makes sense. Like in the Nidus Canal or whatever it's called, you have like this stupid name that would make like stupid cold upgrades that would make them have
re pneumatized pneumatotosis shitness plating armor.
Something like that. And then in Hive, you wouldn't have to worry about like them getting sniped and all units being trapped in a island somewhere. I don't know.
That could work too, yeah. I would love to see like the skin change when it becomes like a greater Nidus worm or something when you get Hive and it like pops out of the ground. Like the ground.
Got one for you guys. You ready for this?
Oh, here
and
comes.
This is actually very lore based. The first Nidus worm screams like a fucking idiot and then it gets torn down by probes, just like DJ Wheat proclaims.
Yep.
But because it's a worm and worms have DNA memory, like passed on through other worms, future worms, they come out and they go, ha! Nope. No. And they don't say a fucking word and they just let stuff come out. How about that?
That would be good too.
We call it wormology.
I like the first, like, ah! Oh,
yeah.
You have to be really
I do like the Zerg have a fucking underground, a subterranean transport that in this universe, in this world of war, there is nothing that is produced where the first thing it does is go, I'm here! But you'd think the can you imagine Zerg stepping out of it and being like, God damn it, worm! Why? Why did you do that? It's like, right down my throat! Who the fuck? Where did that come from? As if they're worried. You know what? Back in Brood War, we had a. We didn't call them Nidus worms. We called them. What were they called?
Nidus canals.
Just Nidus canals? Didn't say
didn't
shit.
You
only put them on creep.
Oh.
They didn't say a fucking word, but you know what the coolest strategy in the whole world was? Planning a ZVZ, building a Nidus Worm underneath his overlords that were all stacked up in a corner, and then Nidus Worming in his base. Not Nidus Worming, excuse me, Nidus Canaling. Canaling.
Man, it'd be great if that strategy was, like, viable and stuff.
Legacy Devoid, no. Kerrigan's going to have a sit-down talk with the original Nidus Worm and be like, yo.
No, you know what's going to happen in Legacy of the Void? They're going to fucking give Protoss a Nidus Worm, and it's going to be fucking amazing. That's what's going to happen.
It's only, like, Warping is basically Nidus Worm.
Arbiters. We get Arbiters, too.
No, man. Warping, that's happening in another base while a DT is attacking your main, and then the Protoss Nidus Worm is coming up.
That would be, you know what?
It's
that
not, cool. and it's going to be like a fucking Reaver that comes out and shoots a giant scarab, then the units come out. So it's going to be like, and then it's just going to fucking find your probes and be.
They hit a patch, they're like, we want to balance the Nidus Worm, but we don't believe in debuffing. We only buff things. So now everything in the game screams when it's made or used. So like.
My life!
Just like sound pollution everywhere, and players are like, they all play with squints because they're like, he's making Templar. I feel like it's in the top left part of the map, and you're like, oh my god.
I didn't see a base up there.
Mothership Corps here again!
Actually, wasn't it like 3 or 4 patches ago, is there was a sound bug? And you would,
hit an alt tab, you get to shut up.
Is EV ready? Is EV ready? I'm like, God, no, shut up.
It's a sound.
Is EV ready?
Psionic Storm upgrade has been completed.
Like, ah! That's why I turned back.
Oracle is approaching enemy base. I should be able to do fantastic damage in just a moment.
All right, guess what? Todd sent me something.
He said it's going to be Imba?
What? No, Todd sent me something. This is an update on something else. This is a celebration from Firebat Hero. Let's watch it. Let's watch this here.
Can you link in?
It's Firebat Hero. Oh, what's this? What's this? What? Oh, Parting, we found your inspiration. He wishes to be the next Firebat Hero. The King of Ceremonies, Suppy. How salty does that make you?
How salty?
So basically, how bad does it upset your gaming spirit that Parting watched this replay of a real-life StarCraft match and then changed his own ceremonies as a result. Did that hurt your gaming spirit a little bit?
Yes, my pride as a professional gamer could not tolerate this action.
You know what? Here's what leapt out at me about that, that made it so incredible. First, I felt bad because Suppy, outside of inside EG teasing, because we're brothers, we're allowed to do that. He's actually the nicest guy in the world. So whenever someone's like strangely mean to Suppy, which never happens, I'm always weirded out by it. But Parting just gets done beating this foreigner, young Chinese kid who just traveled over there, and it's like playing the games of his life, and almost beats the guy that's like a fucking monster. He's crying in his booth because he's losing this foreigner, beats him. And then this is a moment where Parting could have been like, I am super impressed. That guy played amazing. I didn't expect that kind of play. Wow. That's pretty cool. And then Suppy like rides that train for a while, but instead he's like, he's a dirtball scumbag, and it upsets my spirit. And Suppy's like, you already beat me. Why are you being mean too? Like, sorry. And he's like fanning himself off with the giant wads of cash that he won at that tournament. He's like, I just get upset when fucking grunts start speaking out about shit.
You're bringing back bad memories, Jeff.
Yeah, sorry. But I made fun of him, so hopefully it bounced out.
Let's move on.
Didn't he also say like that every single match was really easy for him, and then like your games against him was actually really close and it was like 1-2 or something?
Yeah, he said the question was, did you feel like any of the challenges were big, or if any of the matches were a big challenge for you? And he's like, no, I didn't feel like any of the matches were hard.
Because they were all foreigners or something like that, right?
Yeah, he did face all foreigners.
I mean, he mentioned
creative.
No, they were all foreigners, so I knew I would win the tournament.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And that just got me like really upset, because it's very disrespectful towards foreigners. Like, even if it's well known that Koreans are the best, you don't have to like be really cocky about it. Especially maybe if he won every single match against foreigners 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, but he struggled, right? Not even against you, maybe like against someone else as well. If I recall,
it's pretty much just him, though. I think
it was him and another Korean.
He just Sentry Immortal all in Sen every game because he was probably like pissed or something.
he was definitely mad. What do we want to? Let's before we talk about
Gamescom and
WCS. Yeah. I actually want to bring up a couple of interviews that were done by our friendly neighborhood journalist, Slasher.
Oh, Jesus.
With Nazgul of Team Liquid and Mr. Che. And you can find the interviews over at GameSpot. They're actually done during the International 3. And I'll just give you a kind of a rundown of... keep in mind that it was the International 3. It was a Dota 2 focus, but there are a few things that are touched on in regards to both of these key players' activities in StarCraft. So Nazgul talks about Blizzard still needing to kind of improve WCS before it really adds value to the scene. Commented that he really prefers the International 3 and Valve's approach to things. And at the end of the video, he gives a sort of subtle dig to Blizzard with this final answer where he talks about the new Dota t-shirts that they're doing with Valve that actually use, you know, Dota 2 assets from the game. Because I understand, like, you know, if Suppy wanted a really cool Baneling shirt, that's not necessarily flying. So he kind of like makes this thing. It's like, yes, not only are they sort of supporting us by helping us make this merchandise, but selling it, but also giving in-game items. And then in the next interview, Mr. Che from GOM says that Blizzard is obviously supporting esports, but that WCS had not been effective. And he alludes to the fact that none of the leagues are really quite happy with the arrangement. But we've talked about this discussion a lot. I don't expect this to repeat anything that's ever been said. But I felt like coming from these two figures that we haven't heard a lot of, We still, you know, have been wondering what exactly GOM's role is outside of StarCraft II. Nazgul, obviously, with the new Dota team and Team Liquid's focus on Dota 2 in addition to StarCraft II. I found it really fascinating. Both of them are very good interviews, but want to get your thoughts on it. Here's two key members commenting not only on like Valve's model, which we've talked about many times before, but you know, frankly saying that, you know, even from our level, we feel like the things that have been saying are reinforced, that indeed there are issues.
Well, I loved that. First of all, I love that because it kind of puts your neck on the line to come out and say, hey, Blizzard, I don't think the thing you're doing is up to snuff. I don't think it's very good. Because StarCraft is Blizzard. Like, we rely on Blizzard support in order for this to tick. And I don't just mean the competitive scene. I mean, literally, if you came out Destiny style and was like, Blizzard's killing its own game, it's fucking terrible, this is murderous, it's stupid. Like, if you went on a rampage and you have any kind of clout behind your name at all, Blizzard, very understandably, would be like, well, we're not going to work with that guy. So when you then are on a team or you're on a tournament or something like that, Blizzard will distance themselves from you because you're kind of a cancerous asshole. But when Nazgul and Chase say it cordially and politely and comprehensively like they did here, where they're like, here's the reasons why it's a good thing they're doing, but it needs work, and here's my ideas on why, and then here's a comparison of a market, a space in the market where this is being done, in my opinion, correctly, I feel like that kind of conversation is very productive, and I really appreciate that because, like you said, we've been saying this for a while, but I feel very strongly that WCS, in essence, in spirit, is an extremely good thing in its current form, and as it's being executed, it's actually a bad thing. It's actually hurting, I feel, more than it's helping. The good news is, and what I do feel, is that I know Blizzard listens. I know this personally because they actually reach out almost every time I say something like this. And to other people as well, obviously. But I don't think that it's impossible for them to make the changes necessary to turn WCS into an LCS or, obviously in a very different way, an international-esque event where the game benefits from having its developers so closely working with it.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything Jeff said. And I think it's really good like that we're getting some influential and very influential and key figures speaking about it. And I really hope that, you know, more influential figures can continue speaking out about it, because I think this way, you know, hopefully we could get, maybe they could do like an open discussion. I know that Blizzard has like an esports team that just focuses on how they can run esports better. And if they could have like an open discussion with all the top figures of the community, like Nazgul and Mr. Che, and figure out what everybody thinks would be like ways to improve the system, I think it could be really beneficial. And people who are that important, like I said it like already like many times, they're very influential. They just are. They have a lot of influence, so their words mean a lot. So I'm hoping that now that a couple people have already voiced their concerns about it, maybe some more will come out and we can get maybe some progress done with it.
I like Seppi's idea of having like a meeting with the important people and organizations with Blizzard so that they all can like come up with something that's even better than WCS. Or not even better, that's better than WCS. Like, I think it would be a good idea to have some kind of forum where all important people just meet and talk about it.
Well, what I would tell you is that they are talking to a lot of people. It's just not... To Suppy's idea and to your backing, Thorzing, what I would say is that... And I wonder if how Blizzard feels about this, because I don't know. But I feel like they should more publicly state that they do things like that, because they actually do. They pull people aside and they ask them, what do you think about this? What can we improve upon? And it's not necessarily Joe Blow's. It's a lot of people in the industry working within this stuff. They're constantly... I can tell you, Mike Morhaime and his wife... they are always discussing this and reaching out to people and defending their ideas, but also receiving constructive criticism and going back and forth. WCS is a gigantic, lofty thing that was executed too early and poorly. So they're doing like five different roles of like catch up, repair, innovate, push, support. Like, they're doing all these crazy things inside the same time frame. Whereas if they would have spaced out and planned it better and then implemented it better, they would be able to focus on like the forward progression as opposed to going back in time and making sure this doesn't all just die. But I agree with you. I feel like their PR and their message should be, look, we're out there. We're fishing for answers. We want you to know we're looking to improve this. But unfortunately, when I take a look back at the scene and I listen for Blizzard, I don't hear a whole lot. They're just kind of like, check out this weekend's WCS. And people are like, isn't that International Weekend? And they're like,
Kinda. I mean, yeah. But it's still WCS, and it's like, well, speak to it, man. You know, like, let us hear your story, your opinion. Tell us why we should care about yours more.
The interviews, I pasted them in the channel. I urge you to check them out. Again, kind of like what was being said, hearing some higher-profile figures saying this, echoing some of the things that we've talked about on the show. And to what Jeff did say is that, yes, they are talking to a lot of people. And, you know, I have no problem saying that, you know, Blizzard's reached out. They've been very candidly. What do you like? What do you hate? I mean, obviously, I do believe they tune into the shows, not just it, like a lot of the shows. They're listening. You know, changes, I don't know. We'll see. But I feel like they're definitely gathering. They're not just saying they're going, well, that's great. Let's repeat it. They want to make whatever changes. I think stuff like this just helps that, accelerates it even more. Let's talk about Gamescom this weekend. It started today pretty much with Sony's and Microsoft and Ubisoft and EA's big thing. You know, kind of like this is a European E3, basically. So what we got back in May was very similar. Did find out a release date for PS4. It makes me very exciting.
November.
Excited, man. Yes, November 15th. I'm all over it.
Already pre-ordered mine.
Good.
Bye.
Good man. Good man. But in about 2 days, if I'm not mistaken, it's probably a day and a half now, of course, a lot of other stuff happens at Gamescom with esports. I mean, a lot of different games. Of course, one of them being the WCS season finals. I believe we chatted about the groups last week, but let me bring them back up just to refresh everyone's memories. Is it Thursday it starts? Yeah. Oh, maybe even Friday.
I think it is Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. 23rd, yes. Yes, that's right. So here we've got the groups right here. Again, we did kind of chat about it a little bit, but what are you guys excited for?
Jadong, bias, but I like the groups. I think they're I don't look at any one of those groups and say I'm not interested in that group. I think all four or five of the groups are pretty sick. Four, obviously, right? It's four groups of four.
Yes, yes.
I feel bad because Alive's our homeboy, but he's put in a group where it's like, good luck. Isn't it Bomber and Innovation in there, right?
Maru, MMA, Maru. Scarlet, Alive.
Right. I mean, he already faced Scarlet.
Maru.
That didn't go so hot.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of interested in MMA's performance. Like, he did well at Teamster Cup. But that's Teamster Cup, and this is WCS. I mean, I'm just a big MMA fanboy, so I'm always very interested in watching him play. Doesn't matter if he's bad or good, but he did all kill. What team did he all kill?
Team Liquid.
Team Liquid, and that's...
You're going to be happy to hear that Artosis picked Innovation to win this thing.
Really?
So, yeah.
So you're not going to be impressed
when do you
next
think...
week?
What will happen when Artosis curse doesn't work anymore, or will it just always work?
It doesn't always work. Like a guy actually has a thread where he's updating all of his predictions.
Oh my god, I have to see it because.
And
is it on
Artosis?
Team Liquid?
He's been correct twice, I think, something like that, out of the last 15 predictions. Something stupid like
an
that.
An examination?
Like,
is this it by Black Panther?
I mean, his predictions are very like
holy
it's run
shit.
Of 16, then he predicts one
holy
player to
shit.
Win, then it's. Like, what the biggest chance of it actually happening?
It's not like that, though, Thorzay. Not
can
all
link
of them.
It?
A lot of them are really bad, man.
He even said maybe Jim could advance from Group D, and look what happened.
Doesn't make it to the tournament.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. There is a lot of red there.
Like Thor's
oh
to your
my
point,
god.
It would be one thing if all his predictions were like this Innovation one, like that's lofty, right? Heading into the tournament. But a lot of the times it's like, hey guys, I'm casting this final this evening. Such and such is so gonna win or whatever, and it's like
oh my god.
Hey Marcus, can you link it?
Yes, dude, there is I thought, okay, it's funny and everything, but it'll be like 50-50 or something. And it just so happens that, you know, the way it's profiled, it's sort of like the movie Pi. You know, you see what you know, what you want to see. So, yeah, there we go. Thorzane. There we go.
I feel bad for Welmu.
Well, he's going to make it out. Nobody predicted him. Artosis didn't predict him.
Artosis curse.
Yeah, there's... He's
the chosen one.
The unchosen one.
All right, so we do have to end... obviously, everyone should watch Gamescom this week. We did talk about it pretty in-depth last week because
right.
There was less to talk about. We have to end the show about 15 minutes earlier. So, I mean...
Why is that? Yeah.
Oh, well, let me take the time. Since everyone obviously from the show is going to be watching it.
I'm just pointing. No,
coming up okay. Here and I'll announce it at the end. I'll announce it at the end.
Oh, jeez.
Jeff, I'm going to bring on Goatlust. I'm thinking about just going to Goatlust and then doing a wrap. And then next week. So we'll have, of course, normal hours. Is that cool with you?
Yep.
Okay.
Gentleman Wheat, I appreciate that.
No problem, Gentleman Jeff.
One thing about WCS, though, is that I just realized that every single group has a foreigner. That makes it, like, so much more interesting to watch. Like, imagine one group being four foreigners instead of four groups being one foreigner. I think...
We'd have a foreigner in the round of eight. Boo!
Yay! But, well, yeah, this makes it, like... So much more exciting. You'll always be cheering for the foreigner, except in one case.
You gotta be excited for that Swede anyway, right?
Except in one case.
The rivalry continues.
Just one. Well, let's see if Goatlust is calling. Goatlust, I know it's a little early, buddy.
Oh, yeah?
But we need to have you on. Yeah, also, Artosis Curse got Terry, too. That's right.
Got what?
Got Terry.
Oh, Terry, so, yeah. Terry.
It's pretty amazing. All right, Innovation. I'll be looking for that one. Goatlust. Come on, man. Where are you?
Whoa, while we're waiting for him to call, real quick. Marcus, you did announce that you're going to school this...
Yeah.
Very recently. You want to talk to that?
Yeah, sure. Not much to talk about. I'm going to school in 5 days, 6 days, to be precise. And I'm really excited about that. I haven't been studying for 3 years now, and I felt like I kind of missed it. And I've been playing as a pro gamer for a very long time now. And I intend to keep trying my best, like Suppy is doing. He's already doing quite well, despite being in school. So hopefully I'll... Hopefully it'll work. Hope I find enough time.
It could, man. Some people play better with less practice, actually, less stress. I know that sounds weird, but like,
yeah, I was saying, like I think it'll help me a lot having the game as a hobby instead of a work slash job. Like, it gives me more motivation to actually play it and think about it when I'm not playing.
Sort of like how Todd like. Became a caster, and then all of a sudden he started, like, beating everybody.
Enjoyed his best success as a pro gamer only when he shifted to be a commentator. Fucking weirdo. Todd, you weirdo.
I think he's watching, too.
I know he's watching.
Yeah.
There's no explanation for that. It's so weird.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The one, the only. It's welcome to another episode of Inside the Game. We've got Goatlust. Hello, sir, the only caller of the day. How are you?
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Hello, good. Gentlemen, Goatlust.
We're fine, how gentlemen, goes? Goatlust.
We are fine. How goes it?
Oh, that's excellent, gentlemen.
You know what? I got to tell you something, Goatlust. This morning I was listening to local guy on the radio.
Yeah.
He actually, ironically enough, went to high school with my wife. His name's Scott Voorhees. And they were making some really bad jokes about Australia. And I just wanted to know that I was thinking about you, man. And I was like, dude, we make way better jokes about Australia than these guys. But anyway, that was my story. How's it going?
Oh yeah, if you ever mentioned fucking riding on a kangaroo, God, that's just fucking pathetic, isn't it?
Hey, that's my best material, man. All right.
Oh, bloody ridiculous, isn't it? Anyhow, touching back on that Mr. Che interview, I noticed that one of the things he mentioned when Slasher asked him about how Koreans were coming over and pretty much destroying all these tournaments, all the other WCS tournaments, Mr. Che was like, oh yeah, we just need to pump some more tournaments into Korea, give these Koreans something to do. Within Korea, do you feel like that'd solve the problem? Because there'd be a whole lot less of them coming over.
I think there's so many Koreans that even if you let the tier of Koreans that win the foreigner tournaments now, there's gonna be this third tier of Koreans that's gonna travel to foreign tournaments because they can't win against the tier two and tier one Koreans, and then they're gonna still be good enough to beat all the foreigners and. Maybe it'll help to some extent, but there's like so many good Koreans. I don't think, unless you just put in a ton of money and a ton of tournaments in Korea, I don't think like one or two more tournaments would help in that regard.
It's an interesting perspective, though, because there are, if I think about it, there are actually not that many tournaments in Korea. I mean, GSTL, WCS, that kind of goes back and forth, Pro League. But if you're not in those tournaments, which are super exclusive, like you don't just like, I'm going to head to the studio and play in that open bracket for the GSL or for the Code A rather. I mean, there is a qualification process once every month or two, and that one's hyper competitive. It's not a sure thing at all, and you don't get any exposure unless you beat five good people. You know, then it would make sense that there's more tournaments, and that would be a way for Koreans to have a more sustainable market, so they don't have to look for foreigner teams to then go abroad.
I think you could do a compromise. So you could pump more tournaments into Korea, but at the same time you region lock the other two places. I think that would be a good solution. And this is something that I've been really against, like when people first started suggesting it. But at this point I'd be fine with reducing the WCS like prize money for EU and NA, and pumping that into Korea and giving them more smaller tournaments, more stuff to do. As long as we have a region-locked area where, like, foreigners can compete amongst themselves and have, like, a more sustainable competition, I think that would be a good solution.
Right on.
I sort of feel like at least, even if the like, only half the Koreans stayed over in Korea instead of deciding to go to WCS, EU, or NA, it'd sort of, you know, just add a bit more variety. There wouldn't be so much domination as, like, the whole top 16 is Korean, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm, yeah.
Tournaments do benefit from having a mix of Koreans and non-Koreans. Like, I think a good example of that is the WCS EU where we had Stefano versus MVP versus the WCS EU where we had Duck Duck versus MC, right? Obviously, MVP and Stefano have a lot of star power, but I would argue part of that star power is that Stefano is a foreigner, and he's playing against a GSL champion versus Duck Duck and MC, who one is a GSL champion, the other one's a cool story where he's never accomplished anything, but they're both Korean pro dosses, so people didn't care as much, so the viewership suffered.
I would second that. I mean, I think there's importance all around, but it's still a hard thing. I do feel like Blizzard is at least evaluating, hopefully going into next season, you know, or actually the season after, because I think 3 is going to be a little bit off limits just because
the next train year is what I would say.
Yeah, the train is moving too fast at this point. But certainly good things to consider.
So. I think the thing we can realistically hope for is I've been told whisperings that 2014 WCS will look very different. They're going to make a lot of adjustments. As you said, the train's too far this time, so it won't. But I think we can hope and urge and support an absolutely kick-ass BlizzCon / WCS Global Finals, whatever it's called, like year finals. I don't think it'll be an international-level thing. It's just not possible because we have 20,000 times more tournaments, including the WCS system being more than just a single weekend. But I do think that BlizzCon can be something that we expect close to 200,000 concurrents, and it's the biggest sign of StarCraft II doing awesome of the year. I think that's something we could realistically hope and push for.
Goatlust, we got to wrap, but thank you very much for your call, dude.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Catch you a lot later.
Take care. Peace.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye. Mr. Gentleman. All right, guys. I'm sorry we got to wrap up a little bit early today, but we're going to do that. So, as always, our final shout-outs, words of wisdom, thoughts, complaints, rants, ideas, advertisements, endorsements, whatever. It all goes right here.
I just switched. Well, I was in Germany, and my mouse ended up not working anymore. So I went to the store, wanting to buy another Abyssus, but they were out. So I bought the Razer Taipan.
Yeah.
Or Taipan, I don't know, whatever. And I'm actually kind of liking it. I don't know if I like it more than the Abyssus, but it's definitely. If there's a Razer mouse that I would like as much as the Abyssus, it could probably be the Taipan. It's a little bit too small for me, but yeah, it's a good mouse.
You think the Taipan's so, small? Oops.
Isn't the Abyssus smaller?
The Taipan is... the Abyssus is wider.
Yeah.
The Taipan is longer, but the Taipan is very narrow, and...
Size isn't everything, though, Thorsten. Remember that.
Yeah. The best thing about this thing is the weight of it. It doesn't feel like fucking air. Like,
some are made thicker, some are made bigger. You know what I mean? It's more how you use it.
And some are just made perfect.
True.
I didn't expect such a nice compliment, but thank you.
Thank you. Oh, man.
So, I knew there was a reason we shared that bed.
Yeah. Good. Good times. I'd like to thank the other sponsors. Yeah. As well as Razer. We have Monster Energy, Kingston HyperX, Razer, which I talked about, Astro, XMG, Zam, Need for Seat, which I visited their European offices this week, actually.
Oh,
it's kind of cool. Got to sit in every single chair they had.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And they had a really cool... I don't know if I can talk about it, but they had a really cool thing. That's all
a
I can say.
A prototype chair?
Mm.
A double-decker for, like, you and Flo? That'd be awesome, actually. A chair that, like, has another chair on top of it so you guys can both
watch
the
show.
But
you need a double-decker desk.
Yeah, or a bigger
company to work with them. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at EG Thorsane, and I'll be streaming tomorrow, I think, most likely, at twitch.tv/Thorsane. And I think that's all for my shout-outs.
Awesome. Can't wait to watch you play Hearthstone tomorrow. Suppy! No, I'm just kidding. I'll be watching you stream, Thorsane. Suppy!
Thank you, man.
Gentlemen, Suppy.
Thank you, gentlemen, Marcuses.
Marcus,
yes. Genomice Marcuses. Okay, I'll keep it a little short because I know DJ Weed's got some good stuff to do.
A long time ago, man. No more friendship, please.
Okay, follow me on Twitter, EGSuppy, twitch.tv. So that's Superior Wolf. Thanks to our team and all our sponsors. Thank you guys for watching. Hopefully, Blizzard were watching and paid attention to our Nidus balance, because I hope they do some... And on to you, gentlemen. Geoffi.
Just one, Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
It works. big shout out to our sponsors, of course, Evil Geniuses, Thorzane, very lovely. Gentlemen, Thorzane actually laid them all out, so I don't feel like I need to super reiterate it, but we do appreciate all of their love. I'll be casting SC2L tonight. I'm not sure with who. It's EG versus Mouse, and the lineups are pretty sick. If you haven't seen them yet, there's a live report thread on Team Liquid. But that's tonight at 9 p.m. PDT, a.k.a. 3 hours from now.
You're definitely not going to be biased.
Oh, I'm not biased at all. Yeah, it's been normal. So do check that out. And then for me personally, it's just going to be SC12 all the way up till Thursday, so every night, Wednesday and Thursday. And then this weekend I'll be checking out, obviously, WCS, as everyone else should. It's going to be great. And I want to give a shout-out to some of the people that listen that I know that they like to contribute. So Todd was hitting us up. I like that. Jenna Bain coming off her vacation, and, you know, she had a very taxing week, but I want her to know if she's listening that we love her and hope she doesn't go too far from esports because she's literally one of the best people I've ever encountered, not just in esports but outside of it. And I'm sorry that the drama got to her. And thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate it. It was a great show today.
Thank you, Jeff. We've got Live on 3 tomorrow. I do believe we're going to have the International 3 Winners Alliance. If all plans work out, Loda with someone else, not quite sure yet, we'll be letting you know, but keep an eye out for that. In about 25 minutes to half an hour, I will be doing the eBay charity cast with Saint Vicious, who's actually way cooler than... at least in control, but and we're doing a one-on-one League of Legends tournament. So Dorzane Suppy and especially Jeff, I know you're fans. I expect you to tune in or watching on the side with SC2L going on. Anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in to Inside the Game. We'll see you next week with episode 82. We are officially out of here. Peace. By the way, Minigun is playing in that tournament. Yeah. Minigun's playing. Uh-huh. Yeah. Can he win? I don't think so. Chaox, watch out for that guy. We're out of here. Peace.
Peace, gentlemen.
Peace.
Peace, gentlemen.